American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us. Thanks to Seth Kessel for joining us this morning. It's very, very early where he is, but, you know, he still gets up anyway and did the show for us. I'm very grateful. But, you know, I've known Seth for a couple of years now. Like I said, when I was talking to him, you may have seen the video. The video actually went viral. So in case you guys didn't know, when Fox pushed me out for the vaccine mandates, I was actually very blessed because Mike Lindell, who was just launching Lindell TV, I think it was about 3 years ago, had actually made an offer for me to jump on board. And it was very, very generous of him to do because he was kind enough to extend over to the mainstream media salary, which is something I wasn't expecting from a startup company. But he was very generous, wasn't trying to rip me off, which is strange because if you work in this space, sadly, there's a lot of people who will try their very best to not pay you properly. But Mike was very proud when he heard my background as to why I was no longer at Fox and had made a very generous offer. And I was very honored for his support. But again, I left, in case you guys didn't know, I left Fox literally with no backup plan, with no job lined up. And so I was very grateful for the opportunity. But the very first day that I started working for Mike Lindell, he had me and another person I was working with fly across the country with him to a few different spots, different states. And one of those states was actually Georgia. So as we land, we get there and all of a sudden Seth with another woman, Holly Kessler, who we have on the show quite often, get on the plane and they start walking us through what they're doing for the day and why Mike's there in person in Georgia. And I was just shocked because, you know, Holly Kessler is describing to me, and so is Seth, about how they've gotten over thousands and thousands of signed affidavits. And it's all just people across the state saying, hey, we want to go vote in the election, the 2020 election. And somebody had already casted a vote for us. It was very strange circumstances like that. Now, they'd been fighting the battle in Georgia and they were looking for assistance. And so that's the reason why Mike Lindell actually went there again on his own dime to go fight the battle in Georgia. So while we were outside of the state capitol police told Mike Lindell and the other person I was with that they couldn't go in because they were media. Now, I quickly picked up a box when I heard that excuse being used and pretended like I was one of the protesters. And we made our way up to the Georgia governor's office. That's Brian Kemp. And we dropped off thousands of signed affidavits boxes at his office. Now, if you've seen the video, it's a viral video of all of these boxes being dropped off, courtesy of me, because I was there to film internally. And even Mike Lindell on air say, wait, how do we have a live shot right now of what's happening up in the office? And they're like, shh, you guys, this is the best control room ever. Thanks, Dan, for pulling this up very quickly. Mike Lindell's like, wait, hold on, who? And then he found out that I went up there. So that's the reason why I was able to get you all of these images to prove to you, the American people, that this was actually being dropped off at Kemp's office. Now, Brian Kemp's office never actually responded in regards to what happened after those thousands of ballots. I think it was 40,000, not ballots, it's 40,000 signed affidavits were handed over, and we never got an update. I know that the governor's office tried to distance themselves from it by saying that these weren't legitimate signed affidavits, is what they try to tell me. But there were people out there, residents, voters, who were pushed away from being able to vote on election day. And Kemp's office didn't care. They didn't care. In fact, they even laughed. And I was there for it. They didn't realize I was a journalist. I was there and saw what they were doing to these protesters who were just simply trying to put together all of these signed affidavits and hand them over to the governor. His office was by far one of the rudest offices I've ever interacted with because they literally laughed at these people's faces. And then they asked, well, do you want like a piece of like a receipt or something for this? You want me to sign? And I said, no, no, no. You guys, get a receipt proving that you dropped off all these boxes. We need records. And even though after we finally got the records and we've had those for years now, there's never been anything as a result of what you just saw there. The governor's office refuses to give comment. The people who I was there with have not heard back either. And so just one of the many, many layers to Georgia's elections that are so freaking corrupt. And it's the reason why I wanted to have Seth on today, because Seth understands it better than anyone as to where all the corruption lies in Georgia. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. I'm going to give you the latest on the Tucker situation. Tucker's making claims. I actually confronted the CIA about this. So I'll give you the very latest on that in just a moment. Meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's March Mega Sales going on right now, up to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at the shop.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We've got a lot to discuss in just a few moments. I'm looking forward to talking to my girl, Mahek Cook. She is an attorney. She's an incredible patriot who wants Americans to be safe. And so she's going to be joining me to discuss the terror threat here in the United States and how we go about pushing out all of these legal and illegal aliens that have come into our country and are trying to cause us harm. As many of you guys know, we've seen now four Islamic terrorist attacks over the last few days here in the homeland, and a lot of it's due to our immigration system. So we look forward to having her on in just a second. But first things first, Tucker Carlson, well, he was trending over the weekend, and that's because he released claims regarding the CIA trying to have access to his private text messages with individuals in Iran. Now, that was prior to the U.S. war in Iran, of course. Now, he's claiming that there apparently was some type of criminal referral handed over to the DOJ to charge him as a foreign agent. Let's take a listen to the claims that he laid out in clip 7.
So the other day, I found out that the CIA is preparing some kind of criminal referral against me, a crime report, to the Department of Justice on the basis of a supposed crime I committed. What's that crime? Well, talking to people in Iran before the war. They read my texts. So the crime under consideration apparently would be the Foreign Agent Act or something like that, acting as an agent of a foreign power. And I don't expect this to go anywhere. I'm not too worried about an actual criminal case against me for a bunch of reasons. One, I'm not an agent of a foreign power. Unlike a lot of people commenting on U.S. politics and global affairs, I have only one loyalty, and that's the United States, and have never acted against it. Its interests are the only interests I care about because I'm from here and I have a lot of kids. So that's not a concern. I've also never taken money from anybody. Don't need it, don't want it, and that's provable. And moreover, it's my job to talk to everybody all the time and try and figure out what's happening around the world. That's literally what I do for a living. And I'm not going to stop doing that, nor should I don't think. I'm also an American. So I can talk to anybody. I have no secrets to divulge. So legally, I think the case is ludicrous, and I doubt it will even become a case. I'm bringing this up for a couple of reasons, though, and they're pretty obvious. One is that countries tend to become more authoritarian in wartime. It's just the nature of war. People are dying. The stakes are high. People's emotions have risen to a very high point, to a crescendo. And so there's much less tolerance for any kind of dissent in the homeland. The irony, of course, is the United States fights wars on behalf of freedom, but there's always less of it here in our country during war. So that's a widely recognized phenomenon, and it's likely to happen now too. Another point to make that is worth knowing is that the USIC, the intelligence agency, spy on Americans. Now, you probably knew that, and it's been revealed a lot, including by Julian Assange and Ed Snowden, both of whom are threatened with death for revealing it, but everyone knows. But it's probably a little more widespread than most people understand, and it's outrageous. There's no justification for your government, which you own, you're a shareholder in it, you pay for it, to be violating your privacy like this. But it happens all the time. And in fact, one of the reasons that CIA or people within CIA, just to be clear, it's a huge, sprawling, disconnected agency. What it does in a specific case doesn't represent what everybody in the building thinks, but there are some people who are mad at me for my views about Israel. And they have some latitude. And one of the reasons they pass on criminal complaints, in effect, to law enforcement is to justify warrants for spying.
Hey, guys, my heck is bleeding.
So that is an absolutely real thing. But the main reason they do it is to leak the existence of the investigation, such as it is, to the media and then humiliate and terrify the subjects of this op. And that's, of course, happened to me repeatedly, many times, including in famously 2021 when I was still at Fox News and trying to set up an interview with Vladimir Putin. And the NSA, I heard from someone there, had grabbed my text messages with an American citizen and had leaked them to news outlets. Those texts were basically my attempts to set up an interview with the foreign head of state. And they leaked them to the New York Times in order to stop the interview, which they successfully did, by the way. And they admitted that they were spying. I mean, this is not a fantasy. It actually happened. They did it again 2 years later. My second attempt to get a Putin interview, I managed to get it anyway. And they've done it since. And so when you get a call from a reporter who knows the contents of your texts, it's pretty clear something's going on. None of this, in my judgment as of right now, is a huge threat to me. So I'm not making this video to complain about it or whine or ask you to send me money.
All right, let's step in on this because Tucker Carlson is obviously alluding to what many of us have been talking about for many, many years now. Potentially, the CIA is spying on him, and it possibly could be due to FISA. We'll get into the details of that in just a little bit because obviously FISA's up for renewal, and I have a lot to sound off on that front. But before we dive deep into that one, I want to get to this next topic. As many of you guys know, last week we were doing a deep dive into the two terror attacks that took place. Now, they are both Islamic terror attacks. One of those individuals, Ahmed Mohammed Ghazali, is the individual who apparently drove his vehicle into a synagogue and blew himself up after shooting himself in the head. And thank God, not a single innocent person was killed in any of this. And they were able to safely secure the building because, as many of you guys know, we reported this. There were dozens and dozens of the children that were present at this temple. Now, obviously, this was a horrific terror attack, but those in the mainstream media wanted you to feel a little bit of compassion for the naturalized U.S. citizen from Lebanon. Now, they say even though he rammed his car through that synagogue loaded with fireworks, gasoline, and other explosives, that the reason why he did that, and by the way, it was over 140 children and teachers and staff in the building at the time. They said that he did it because one of his family members was killed in an Israeli strike in Lebanon. Now, when you do a deep dive into this individual, it turns out, well, of course, the facts don't align up with their sympathetic narrative. And his relative, which was his brother, is a Hezbollah terrorist commander. Yeah, you heard that right. You heard that right. So while the mainstream media, and not all mainstream media outlets, but there's a lot of them who wanted you to be sympathetic to the fact that he lost a family member due to this Israeli strike, refused to tell you the entire background story to this individual. We'll tell you this truth, of course. Joining me now to discuss is Mehak Cook. She's an incredible attorney, and she does a great job on X diving into not only these topics, but also topics related to fraud. And so it's always an honor to have Mehak on the show today. Mehak, thank you for being here. I want to touch upon this story first, because this story is a big one. I remember reading through all the headlines and going into all these stories last week, and they said that they thought the motive potentially was the fact that one of his family members was killed in these Israeli strikes in Lebanon. But they left out a key factor in all of this, and that's the Hezbollah angle to this, that he, in fact, was a Hezbollah commander. Your reaction to this naturalized citizen carrying out this horrific terror attack, but thank God not a single child or teacher or staff member was killed.
Well, Brianna, I'm not surprised. This is just the tip. We have so many homegrown terrorists and individuals here that chant death to America. We saw them in the streets in New York on weekend after weekend. So we should actually be asking ourselves, what is happening with our vetting crisis right now? Because we have a national security crisis. This attack in Michigan was thwarted, but you have to think 140, those are what reports are saying, children in a synagogue that would have been dead if it wasn't for the Jewish community taking threats seriously. Reports also indicate the Jewish community is spending millions of dollars for security. So you have a man that entered the United States that has ties to Hezbollah because his brother is a commander, and we allowed a person like that to come into the United States. What did we expect? It's shocking to me that we have continued to treat terrorists like naturalized citizens. The fact that he was even naturalized poses a lot of questions in terms of our national security. We're allowing American destruction on U.S. soil with a lack of backbone. We need to go back to where President Trump had even a Muslim ban. That's what everybody in the media wants to call it. That's where I stand today. We need to know who's in our country first, and then we need to allow for anybody else to come in that wants to assimilate and work. But if you want to create havoc, if you want to kill children and innocent civilians in the United States, you don't belong here.
Yeah, let's go into the details of this, because I think this is really interesting. So many members of Congress, too, I think we're close to 50 members of Congress have joined the Sharia caucus, which is now going to be a group of congressional members who are going to be pushing back on the Islamic takeover of several states. And this is something that's concerning because these people, like you said, they're not willing to assimilate. And that's the key point to immigration. The key point is you get a group of immigrants who actually want to go through the legal process, but most importantly, assimilate to our culture here and contribute. And right now, I could attest to it here in Texas. And we got a bunch of clips we're going to play later in the show. We sadly have imported people that don't agree with our beliefs, don't like the Western beliefs at all, and they're now building up these Muslim compounds. And it's not an over-exaggeration because, you know, I was here and I was telling Tommy Robinson about the DFW area when he was visiting just a few weeks ago. And I was telling him, and he went over there to go see it for himself. But the East Plano Islamic Center is a great example of just that. These are people who have come into our country and they don't want to coexist with us. They build their own restaurants, their own supermarkets, their own clothing stores. And if you dare to enter like Tommy tried, they immediately shut him down. They didn't even know who he was at first, but they immediately shut him down. They wouldn't sell him anything that wasn't halal. They wouldn't allow him into the mosque. So this isn't like Christians who would allow you, regardless of what your personal beliefs are, they'd allow you to enter their church. They'd allow you these opportunities to go around to their businesses. They wouldn't treat you this way. There's a big issue where they're building up these compounds and they aren't allowing people to enter, American citizens to enter. How do we crunch down and prevent this becoming more widespread? Because in Texas alone, I mean, we're close to 400 mosques that have recently gone up. Obviously, that we're going to do a story about how in another part of Texas, how there was just recently a church that was purchased and that they deemed it, these Islamists who purchased the church have deemed it as a conquer kind of mission where they're buying up these churches. And a lot of these churches don't even know, I know this is a ramble, but they don't even know who they're selling it to because they're purchasing it under LLCs that look possibly Chinese, possibly look like they're Christian groups. But then after the purchase is finalized, they then transferred over to Islamic groups. So how do we, as Americans, try to fight back on this? Because a lot of people are really concerned with who we're bringing in.
Well, the first job of our government is to increase vetting. The fact that we've even allowed terrorists into our country to embed, to assimilate in a way that is targeting different organizations, different groups, whether it's Jewish people or Christians, that's the number one thing that we should be focused on. It's increasing our vetting. It's increasing our infrastructure. It's making sure that every application that is submit it in the United States, we're actually reviewing what are ties to whether it's Hezbollah, Hamas, terrorist organizations. And then the second part of that also, it dovetails into this, making sure that these individuals can support themselves for at least 5 years. The fact that we're importing people from other countries that can't sustain on themselves, of course, they're going to turn to crime, from terrorism to theft and fraud of the American people. This is just basics. And then the people that are here, if they have been naturalized, denaturalized immediately, the fact that there is such a process to do this is just baffling to me. You had a convicted ISIS member that was providing material support that was in prison for 7 years. And our system, our American judicial system, let him out so that he can conduct more eyes on America, more terror on American soil. That should be rule number one. If you're convicted of material support, if you're convicted of terrorism, you go to prison in the U.S. and then you get deported immediately. We're just missing common sense today. And this is why there's so many attacks. And then last, I think Washington really has to realize that there is a global security threat. And there are certain countries that should not be permitted to come on U.S. soil. But we need to shut down immigration immediately, figure out who's in our country. Remember, Brianna, it was 4 years of Joe Biden's terror reign that allowed illegals into our country where Kamala Harris was supposed to be the border czar. I know for a fact we have terrorists here. We have to stop this or we're going to see more blood of Americans on our homeland than ever before.
Yeah, but heck, when I compare the numbers, and I've told our audience about this, from what Joe Kent put out there, which is roughly about 18,000 known and suspected terrorists being released into the country, and I compared it to what DHS recently gave me, they've only captured about 7.8%, that number coming about 2 weeks ago, so it could possibly have adjusted. But I keep my eye on the recent arrests. I get the notifications all the time. I haven't seen any recent arrests of any known or suspected terrorists yet. So it definitely is a concerning issue here that's worth addressing. But when it comes to a lot of the terror attacks that we've seen, I mean, over the last few days, we've now seen 4 Islamic terrorist attacks. When you go through the numbers and you start looking at how these people ended up in our country, 3 of those were naturalized citizens. 2 of those are the 2 in New York City. Those individuals, their families migrated to this country, and they were teenagers, so they are American citizens. They were born here, so just something to keep in the back of your mind. But when it comes to trying to denaturalize these citizens, every time I ask people over at DHS, and I know based because you've worked a lot of these cases before, they say it's extremely difficult. And it's extremely hard to push these people out because you have to prove some level of fraud when they came into the country that they lied to us in order to make that happen. Walk us through some of the most key elements to this and why it's so difficult.
Well, DHS is right. Our immigration system and even our legal system is broken because generally you have to prove fraud when an individual came in. But here's the key. We actually need legislation to say once an individual is here, and they have committed fraud, they have committed material support to terrorism and terrorists, then that should mean automatic, once the sentence is served, denaturalization and deportation. That's the key that's missing today. Material support for terrorists is the hardest provision because you actually have to show that the individual who's providing material support had intent to commit terrorism, showed support, whether it was through funding or other mechanisms, and then was trying to actually go through with an attack. So a lot of times in these situations, you have an FBI agent that's undercover, that's embedded, that spends months upon months, even years, to get this information. So once we know we have a terror threat, why are we allowing those individuals to go into our prison and then, like a revolving door, come out into society? Because this is the number one thing we have to understand. We cannot reform radical Islamic terrorists out of them. Just because they're in prison means we're safe for whether the sentence is 7 years to 20, which is maximum. We have to make sure then we are deporting them immediately and denaturalizing. This is where the legal system and our law is failing us today. But I have no faith in Congress. The fact that we can't even pass the SAVE Act, what is the most single piece of legislation that the majority of Americans agree on? Do you think they're going to be able to pass something like this? I mean, we are so backwards today in terms of common sense and where we are that Americans are unifying against the Washington elite establishment. We're tired of it.
Yeah, well, that's the key element to all of this. You know, the president's pushing for the Save America Act, but those in the Senate, Republicans specifically, like Mitch McConnell, I can't imagine someone who is not up for re-election like him helping the president further his agenda, given the fact that we all know that he does have a very strong disliking for President Trump. So those are the kind of people that are standing in the way. But there was some positive news I want to get to as well and get your reaction to. The State Department has actually reduced the fee for formally renouncing American citizenship by at least 80%. So it went from about $2,350 to now just $450. Now, I didn't know that there was actually a fee associated with this. So can you walk us through that? Because that sounds baffling in itself. Why are we even charging $450? I would just let them do it for free.
Well, I think the immigration system is one that is completely backwards. And we need so many more officers. We need so much more process and understanding of who's in our country and the applications. I've filed immigration paperwork. I've practiced immigration law. It is a daunting task. There are hundreds of pages that you have to fill out and then you send to ICE and or DHS and USCIS, which is the immigration system. And so you're constantly going back and forth. But at the end of the day, Brianna, these are administrative costs. And my question is, why shouldn't this cost be zero? If somebody really wants to renounce, why do we have to ask them multiple times? I mean, this is a very easy slam dunk case for Americans and politicians and our president to know who doesn't want to be a U.S. citizen, because at the end of the day, they shouldn't be receiving our benefits. And we should be looking more in their background in terms of, are they a threat to our country? Should they be self-deportating, increasing self-deportations, because if somebody doesn't want to live here, I know there's a line of good people from foreign countries that actually want to come here and contribute to society. So what the State Department has done, I applaud them to reduce administrative costs, but this cost really should be zero. I want to know who's in this country that doesn't want citizenship, and then they should never be allowed to apply again.
Yeah, no, I'm on board for that. And you might as well allow them to self deport and to do this on their own. I'm all on board for this, Mahek. I think this would be a great way to purge our system of people that despise us. So I'm on board for that one. I want to pivot a little bit, though, because you're an expert when it comes to what's going on right now over at DHS. And it's so frustrating because I didn't understand why we weren't fully funding DHS in the last spending bill. I thought it was quite strange that they would allow this to take place. But right now we're dealing with a partial shutdown and a lot of key elements on securing the homeland right now are the agents that are involved in all of this are going without pay. You know, my team actually just sent me a video right now of the Austin airport, and the line is out the door. People are wrapping around the building. It's turning into a complete nightmare with over 3 hours worth of a wait just to get through the TSA line itself. Over 300 agents have resigned officially, and there are hundreds of more who are just calling out because obviously they find other sources of income, because this is now the third time in the last 12 months that they've gone through a political standoff, I'd say. But right now, we see that the airlines itself are actually taking out full-page ads, and they're trying to push lawmakers to fund TSA because they know that this is going to be an economic issue for them. Mahek, we got about 2 minutes left. I'll let you take it away from here. What's the latest in regards to TSA and the funding battles that they're having, and how do we get this done and funded as quickly as possible so there's no threats to the homeland?
Well, I think, Brianna, it's not a surprise to me, but Democrats are really waiting for death and destruction in America for them to actually come to the drawing board and start working with the president and with Congress. What's damning today, and I think every American should know this, is ICE is fully funded because of the big, beautiful bill. What Democrats are holding hostage are TSA agents. I read a father of three that had to quit his job because he can't support his family. They're holding the American people hostage for politics, and it's gamemanship, because at the end of the day, this funding will not change ICE. We're still going to make sure that we have immigration security and we're deporting. What they're doing is creating manufactured crisis and chaos in our country. And what was the number one issue our last election? I think Democrats have short-term memory loss. It was safety and security. And the fact that we are in a crisis with Iran, in addition to national security crisis here, four threats, terrorist threats in the last 10 days tells you everything. Democrats are pushing the line and the envelope to make sure that they tell the American people it's Republicans to blame, but we know who's at the helm today. It's Democrats holding us hostage. I'm disappointed that Leader Thune and others haven't pushed for a filibuster, because we could end this. The fact that we have the White House and every other position, we should be at the helm to make sure that we're safely securing Americans. And that's not what's happening. I think Democrats continue to fundraise from this and continue to push because people like George Soros love chaos. They love the fact that Americans are suffering. That's the only common sense solution out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's frustrating because Republicans in the Senate aren't doing their job to push this through as well. And it's just so, it's frustrating sitting on the sidelines watching this all unravel, because President Trump, I mean, I know a lot of our audience members, myself included, have been critical on certain things, but he's probably far the most productive person in Washington, D.C., trying his very best to push forward so much. And so it's frustrating to see how Senate Republicans are trying to hold him off, as well as obviously the Democrats. Mahek Cook, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate having you on the program as always. Folks, give her a follow on X at Mahek Cook is where you could follow her right now. She does great videos and digs into all the fraud and uncovers and exposes it. And that's the reason why she's one of my favorite follows. Thank you, Mahek, for joining us. Guys, we'll be right back in one moment.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway. And a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Excited you're all jumping on board with us today. I just got big news. Big news. Wanted to make sure we told you all about it. Right now, if you text the word, it's one word, InfoWars, to 342581. That's 342581. You're actually going to get a free methylene blue. That's the droppers with any purchase over at the shop. So stop what you're doing right now because it's going to end in a couple of hours and text the word, it's one word, InfoWars, to 342581. Again, that's 342581. That's what you text the one word, InfoWars, to get that free bottle of methylene blue. Again, it's just the droppers. It's the liquid version of all of this. And you get this with the purchase of any product over at thealexjonesstore.com. But you can only get it if you text the word InfoWars to 342581 right now. Again, we're doing this for a limited time only. And so it's going to end in a couple of hours. So now you've got to do it. The number again, 342581. That's 342581. And it's the word InfoWars. Okay, guys, you got it? Do it right now. All right, let's get back to some of the headlines because I've got my eye on a lot of things, but I want to bring us back to the Tucker Carlson comments that we played for you earlier. Now, Tucker is obviously claiming that the CIA has been spying on him, and it's due to his discussions potentially with an Iranian. Now, again, he's very vague on the details, but he says that there was potentially a criminal referral that was handed over to the DOJ. Now, I've reached out to the CIA for comment on all of this. I gave them a deadline of 12 o'clock Eastern time today. That's noon. Haven't heard back yet. When we do hear back, though, I'll bring you the very latest on that. That's why you got to follow me, too, over at Brianna Morello on X, because that's where I'll be breaking that news when I do, if I do get a statement from the CIA. But this, it highlights a much bigger, issue. And I've been pushing about it for weeks now. So is my girl Mel K as well, in regards to FISA, because FISA is set to expire next month. And so lawmakers are expected to start holding hearings on FISA and the renewal of FISA very, very soon. Now, obviously, if you're someone who appreciates the U.S. Constitution, you don't want them to renew FISA at, well, its current stance right now, because it allows the U.S. government to go out there without a warrant and spy on American citizens if they could somehow in any way make a connection to a foreign government or a foreign individual who you may be speaking with. And again, it's intentionally very vague so that they could really go out there and surveil anyone. So it's possible, if Tucker's story is true, that they were able to utilize FISA through that Iranian, of course, to legitimize, that's in air quotes, of course, their efforts to spy on him. Now, again, obviously, Tucker Carlson has pissed off a lot of people in his stance on Israel. He's obviously not very friendly with Israel, but he has a right to be critical, regardless of how you feel about the issue, because guess what? He's an American citizen, and he's allowed to have an opinion even if you disagree with him. Doesn't mean the government gets to go out there and spy on him. You, as an American citizen, could have any political take you want, even if it's hot trash. And the government doesn't have to, or the government doesn't have a right, I should say, to go after you. So if what Tucker Carlson is saying is true and he's not working on behalf of the Iranian government and he is, in fact, talking to sources on the ground, which I think is fair as a journalist, then obviously this is federal overreach. And again, it's another one of the abuses, if true, of potentially FISA. But obviously no one's going to want to talk to you about that. And I'm trying my best to get someone to give me a statement, even if it's, we can't give you comment because it's a pending investigation, because that's obviously very telling in these situations. But obviously, Tucker Carlson's not making friends anytime soon. And in fact, many who once really did love the host of the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show are now saying that they don't even recognize him anymore. Someone who I highly respect, Miss Miranda Devine over at the New York Post, she has been an absolute fighter against the big corrupt machine that is our federal government. And now she's saying that she doesn't recognize her former friend. Take a listen to clip 8.
I mean, Tucker, who I, you know, was very friendly with when he was at Fox. I was on his show all the time. He asked me to write his biography. I was halfway through it when he left Fox in, you know, mysterious circumstances, let's say. And so I was close to him, but I don't recognize what's happened with his you know, podcast now, because I think, you know, he comes from a good place, which is he genuinely is anti-war to a point that I don't think people really understand. He was kind of in the neocon world when he first, you know, started out in journalism, and he was working for Bill Kristol, and he felt betrayed and used by Bill Kristol because, as I said, like, he's incredibly charismatic and great on air, So he felt, and he's a great writer, so he felt Bill Kristol used him to prosecute the Iraq War, which he now realized afterwards was a huge mistake. He had a friend die there, and he just beats himself up about it all the time. But I mean, he's not alone. I feel exactly the same way. I think a lot of us were hoodwinked into that, and therefore are, you know, there's a whole generation of people, Pete Hegseth talks about it, who are very leery of war, very different from the people who tricked us into the Iraq War. So, so I think Tucker comes from a good place, an honest place. But what's happened, I think, was at Fox, he had an incredible crew around him. Like, he had Justin Wells, who was just, you know, first among equals in terms of Fox talent, behind the scenes talent, could have run the place. He was his executive producer. He had people like Charlie Cougar and a whole retinue of real geniuses. And you don't get to be number one in cable for so many years without a good team. And that was leveraging Tucker's immense talent and turning it into gold. And I think Tucker suffers from having lost those people. Obviously, when he left Fox, he couldn't keep them on. And he's pretty isolated.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with Miranda on a lot of that. Listen, I don't necessarily agree with Tucker on a lot of his takes, but I can tell you that it's acceptable to have a difference in opinion. And Tucker's been very consistent when it comes to not wanting the U.S. to be involved in any foreign wars. In fact, he was probably one of the most outspoken individuals when it came to the war in Iraq. I remember this vividly on how he was truly against it and would ask people all the time about their stance on that. And so he's been consistent throughout all of that. He is a man who doesn't want the U.S. to be involved in any Middle Eastern wars. And I got to say, I do actually support that truly to my core. But the reality of it is right now is a lot of people are calling into question Tucker's alliance. A lot of people believe that he may be bought off by a foreign government. Now, Tucker has obviously denounced all of that, saying that, no, he has not been purchased off by a foreign government. He's just trying to cover it from his perspective. And again, people we disagree with doesn't mean, because we disagree with them, doesn't mean that they were bought off by a foreign government. Sometimes we just have differences in opinions. I do know that Tucker did have a great team over at Fox. I interacted with many of his producers, his writers, and they were great people. And so I know he's lost a lot of them, but he still has a solid team around him. He still does. So as we continue to sit here and dissect and understand what's going on, I think it's important for folks to understand. Tucker Carlson, and I love Miranda Devine, and I really do appreciate the work that Tucker Carlson's done over the years. But there's been some things that I'm just scratching my head and wondering what's going on with Tucker, like when he refers to the Islamic terror threats as Israeli propaganda when we push it here on shows like ours. Non-Israeli propaganda. It's obviously me listening, as many of you guys know, listening to the words of Islamists and bringing you the direct evidence of what they are saying on their own programming, in their own countries, or in our countries. Where they're having individuals come to our country. We'll give you an example in just a little bit of a Muslim Brotherhood official making his way to here, Texas. And so to sit here and to pretend like there isn't an Islamic threat is crazy to me. And I would love to hear him openly debate and to argue his point as to why he doesn't think that the threat is a real threat. I think it'd be very enlightening. But a lot of people, and I keep seeing on social media, and I actually am just so done with it. I might start muting keywords because I've just had enough of it. Both sides of this argument regarding Israel and the Middle East, I guess you could just say at this point, have just become so toxic and so just nasty with one another. And it's both sides. It's not just one specific side. It's both sides. It's unbearable to sit back and watch. I mean, I'm sitting here watching commentators who I really do love and appreciate go back and forth and get a little nasty with it when it comes to trying to back up the claims that they're making. And I'm just, I want off. I want nothing to do with this anymore. So, you know, I would say this. I would say that we need to turn the temperatures down by like a lot, a lot. Twitter has become such a toxic place. I love it because I love to break news on Twitter and I love to see it because it's a live feed. But the drama, I'm so over the podcasting drama. Shut up, everyone. Get back to the core mission. The core mission of whatever you believe. The core mission, though, I think that all of us have in common is the fact that we want to defend, we want to protect, and we want to conserve whatever's left of this country and fight to get it back. And so for those who are out there fighting on the internet, first off, by the way, I actually think it's repulsive to see grown men fighting online. But I also think it's gross when women do it too. And so I try to refrain from all that. You'll see some people taking little jabs at me. I usually just block and move on. But so many people do the back and forth. So I can't stand it. So my point to this is, this little ramble, is to turn the temperature down, but most importantly, just get off of X when people are just getting crazy. The real world is great. Your neighbors, meet with them, talk to them. I'm telling you, there's more love in this world than there's darkness. And I feel like when you're on Twitter, you're just surrounded by darkness, negativity. So if you haven't done so already and you're feeling a little darkness on social media, just put the phone down and go outside. That's the best solution for any of this. You know, I'm constantly taking my dogs out. I'm constantly going for runs. It's by far one of the most therapeutic things you could do instead of being hooked to your devices and drowning yourself in the dark algorithms of places like X. All right, let's pivot a little bit because as many of you know, we've been talking about it on this show. There's still a partial shutdown going on right now. CEOs for major U.S. airlines, including American, United, Delta, Southwest, JetBlue, Alaska Airlines, and others like FedEx, UPS, and others are all putting out a letter saying, hey, Congress, get your ish together. We're like 29 days now into this partial government shutdown, and you created an absolute mess at the airports. Now, as many of you know, we keep talking about it. TSA employees have not received a paycheck. They've been working without pay since mid-February. So, folks, if you have bills coming up, if you can't make your rent, guess what? And I know I'm no fan of TSA. Don't call and lecture me about TSA. I agree with you. I hate it. In fact, I've sued. And I'm affected by the shutdown, too, because they still haven't paid me my settlement, which is that they're going to be covering my legal bills. I don't make a dollar off of these cases, but I do get my legal bills covered. And TSA owes my lawyer a lot of money. They're citing the partial shutdown as the reason why they can't pay it up right now. How convenient. But back to the core of all of this. Those employees right now over at TSA right now are obviously calling out because why would you show up to a job where for the third time in the last 12 months, you have been forced to go without a paycheck? Why? Because, well, the political parties in this country are holding you hostage because they deem this as a political thing rather than a national security thing. And listen, if you truly don't think that we need to fund DHS, I'm on board for that. How about we scope through all the information? How about we try to figure out how can we downsize DHS? But that's not what they want. They want to defund ICE because they don't want our immigration laws enforced. They want to allow our borders to be invaded and pull back border patrol. So it has nothing to do with actual national security that these people are talking about or trying to crunch down on government waste. It is, in fact, a political move. And in fact, if you're in Austin right now, don't even fly. I have to go to Florida. I'm driving. I'm not even, it's going to be a nice 18 hours for me. Not even going to go into that mess. This country is obviously crumbling because of Democrats are holding it hostage right now to make sure that we cannot fund these agencies. And the reality of it is they keep saying, I heard it yesterday. Oh, well, we're trying to fund TSA, but they don't want to fund the entire DHS. Well, that's not up for interpretation. Partial government shutdown, fund everything, or else let's downsize the federal government. Your take, Dems. Now, it's so bad that people like Jake Tapper and Clip 9 are even going out there. And, well, Jake Tapper is getting into a little bit of a dispute with Cory Booker on the issue. Take a listen.
In terms of the security of our home, there have been a number of attacks. The ISIS-inspired bombing attempt in New York City outside Mamdani's house. A shooting target at an ROTC class at Old Dominion. And on and on and on. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security is still shut down because Senate Democrats are blocking the funding bill over the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Given the security concerns you just expressed, and given the fact that honestly, Secretary Noem has been fired, Tom Homan took over from Greg Bovino and Noem in Minnesota, you could argue Democrats won the debate. Isn't it time for Democrats to reopen and refund DHS?
So first of all, Democrats have tried multiple times to try to get TSA, CISA, the Coast Guard funded. Republicans have refused time and time again to fund.
Yeah, they want the whole agency funded.
They want the whole agency.
Cory Booker, yeah. They want the whole agency funded. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? By the way, Jake Tapper refusing to use the word Islamic terror attacks. Yeah, there was something ISIS-inspired outside of the mayor Madani's home. Of course, he uses that because Madani's a Muslim, so play safe with that one. Yeah, Old Dominion, there was a shooter. Left the entire ties to jihad that this individual had. Who cares? Facts don't matter. Facts don't matter at all. Continue to push the false narratives that you do all the time, Mr. Jake Tapper. The American people have just had enough of all of it, though. I want to get to this other story, too. Rachel Bade is an individual who has worked in corporate media before, but now she is independent. And she recently released a report, but I have to give her credit because she releases what she thinks is true, and then she releases the rebuttal as well, which you rarely see. Trump to associates, what's titled, Keep Noem Away. Now, she's claiming that Kristi Noem is being pushed out by the administration and that the president doesn't want her anywhere near him anymore. Now they're saying that this is according to three people who are familiar with the issue. Now Noam and her team have informed this reporter over the last recent days that she is not on the guest. She's not on like any of the actual rejection list. That she is not on the guest list for a couple of events at the White House. But again, I mean, listen here. I should note, a Noam defender called this narrative fake news, arguing that the ex-secretary spoke to President Trump last night and has been at the White House since her removal. Okay, that's according to the reports as I scroll through that. So many are reporting, obviously, that she, and this is the main report, that she's been pushed out from the administration, which is obviously being pushed on by key Noam allies as fake news. But kudos to this reporter, because again, this is someone who I'm very critical. I'll tell you guys, obviously there are people out there who don't want to cover this at length, but the reality of it is she's including both sides, people disputing her claim. And then the people that she says, three people who says that Noam has been pushed out. Well, I guess only time will tell. We'll have to start seeing some photos of Kristi Noam at the White House, of course. But again, the president wasn't very happy with her in regards to her Senate testimony. So there's always that. All right, in case you didn't know, yesterday was a International Day to Combat Islamophobia. That's a holiday that's been created by the UN, of course. Surprise, surprise. And so in honor of that, we've got to go over some of the Islamic takeover issues that we have right now in this country. Amy Mack posted a video, and this one's important. If you live in Texas, if you live in any other state that's a Republican state, listen up, folks. Take a look at this video that you see here. This video highlights what I've been talking about, this Islamic takeover. They're buying up churches. They are buying up churches. And again, I know I said it with Mahek. They keep sitting there and buying up these churches. And a lot of the times, these churches don't even know they're selling to an Islamic group. In fact, on paper, it might be like a Chinese entity, it might be a Christian group, might say something very Christian sounding. And then once the purchase is finalized, they quickly swap it over to an Islamic group. And for some reason, our federal government and state officials too, only Ken Paxton's been fighting this issue from day one, have been pushing back on this. Now, again, there's a church in Haltman City, which is in Texas, who apparently has transformed this church into an Islamic foundation. And so this apparently, according to this is Amy Mack who's reporting this, it's completed with a 200 prayer spaces. There's 200 places for them to pray, classrooms, and other things. Now, again, they were apparently able to, and they were fundraising aggressively too. That's what this video is that you see on your screen. It's them aggressively fundraising to repay their interest-free loan on it. And why are we pointing your attention to this? Well, because obviously, folks, this is a part of their conquer request. They are trying to conquer the United States. They're doing so by buying up churches. We got to start alerting the Christians to this. They've got to look into who is buying up their churches. Now, again, it's not just the churches themselves who need to figure this out. It's also our local officials. How do we stop them from doing this? Because they're able to use these false, or we should say fabricated LLCs to make the initial purchase and then quickly swap it. And I've seen it here. I tell you guys all the time. In Texas, in Dallas, when I go to a lot of these hearings, it's never anyone who looks to be practicing Islam. It's people who are representing these groups, these foreign-funded groups. And a lot of time, it's just white attorneys, white PR groups. And they're trying their very best. As many of you guys know, Epic has changed their name to The Meadow to distance themselves from the Islamic takeover. Now, I want to get to clip 10 because Sarah Gonzalez is actually outlining a massive, massive threat over at Fort Hood. Take a listen.
In 2022, the Fort Hood Garrison Chaplain's Office determined that Fort Hood, fun fact, Fort Hood actually has the largest Muslim community in the Department of Defense. Of course, now the Department of War, but back in 2022, that's what they determined. They had a big Muslim population, so big, in fact, that they like celebrated bringing in a Muslim chaplain to accommodate them. And here was one of the quotes in an article that was written about it at the time. It says, amid her almost 17 years of serving in the military, this is the first time Sergeant First Class Muna Hassan says she's truly had a Muslim chaplain. You'll love this quote. I've seen the transition in the military to make it more diverse and inclusive, Hassan said. The idea that you are important, all of you, not just the army, you know, sight of you. Having a strong faith makes a better soldier. Having a strong faith for Allah and Islam makes you a better soldier. But for whom is my question? Can you serve both Allah and Muhammad and the American military? I say no. This just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I think most logical people, and thanks to Sarah Gonzalez with that little update, I think most logical people would agree that it's actually a horrendous idea, but that's what you're dealing with in Texas. And again, it's not just Texas. You know what my friend texted me? She was like, Brianna, it's happening in Georgia too. Look what I found. And I said, this is why I'm warning everyone. If you live in a red state, you better be on high alert. That's because red states have low regulations. We obviously have lots of land. But most importantly, they actually agree with us when it comes to children's education. And because we fight for our education rights, they're jumping on board with that. But again, it's not because they want to be friendly and coexist with you. It's because they're trying to take over your state, and you better pay attention. All right, let's shift gears a little bit, because President Donald Trump, is he going to weigh in on the Texas Senate race? Well, the last update we saw is a possibility of him weighing in later this week. That's coming from ABC News, who say that they actually spoke with the president about the issue, and that he says that both candidates, he does like, I don't know. But the reality of it is he's going to potentially be endorsing someone as we get closer and closer, possibly next week or so, was the exact quote. Now, again, I keep hearing that President Trump's not going to weigh in on any of this. And in fact, he's going to keep himself distanced from all of this until the Save America Act is pushed through. Now, I would probably say that he shouldn't even entertain the idea at all, because folks, John Cornyn has done his very best at preventing the president from doing anything. So why would we do any of this? Why would we support him? Why would we get behind this? I want nothing to do with John Cornyn. It's time for him to be replaced. He has, it's been long overdue. It's long overdue. And John Cornyn needs to go. And if the president weighs in on this, I don't see it going well for President Trump, honestly. I feel like most people would feel like it's a betrayal because, well, Ken Paxton is the best thing that's ever happened to the state of Texas, but most importantly, Ken Paxton has been extremely loyal and fighting beside the president in so much of what you see unraveling today. All right, folks. Again, I want to remind you all, we just got the announcement. It just launched. We've got a couple more hours left. You got to stop what you're doing right now. Text the word InfoWars. That's one word, InfoWars, to 342581. That's 342581. You're going to get a free methylene blue dropper. That's the liquid version of it, with any purchase over at the shop. The only way you can do that, though, of course, is when you text 342581 right now, the one word, InfoWars, and that ends in just a couple of hours. So stop what you're doing and make sure you do just that. We also have iodine, too, just launched over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's 50% off for our VIP members, and we appreciate you becoming a VIP member and supporting us. But also, if you're not a VIP member, we'll bulk send a discount to you, 25% off for everyone else. Now, on top of that, that wasn't a good enough deal. We've got more coming your way. We've got our March mega sale, and it's still going on right now. It's up to 40% off. It ends actually tomorrow night. So if you have a dental already, you got to indulge in this March mega sale. It's NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so many of your favorite supplements are up to potentially 40% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. So stop what you're doing and snag it before it's too late.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participated, supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend special deals, special offers. And with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandroy.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandroy.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.